Welcome to what is the first episode of the Agents Angle for 2024, looking into the unpredictable world of football agents with me, Jonathan Booker.
And me, Peter Palaiologos. Yes, as we head into the year 2024 and we thought we were starting to get some clarity on football agent regulations worldwide. Now, FIFA pitch a curveball into the equation with Circular 1873 and the announcement of FIFA of a temporary and partial suspension of the FFAR.
Absolutely. The timing, tone and content of the FIFA circular has caused quite a bit of confusion and frustration for many, and not just the agents. So we're going to take a closer look at this and the wider effects.
All that to come on this episode of the Agents Angle.
Here we go again, and we're actually back a week earlier than we had planned, Peter. In fact, you are still away and recording remotely for anyone who hears any background noise. But with what has happened since the recording of our last episode pre-Christmas, it is only right we look at some huge developments in the football agents world.
Yes, I'm currently traveling in Asia, and all of a sudden, my WhatsApp, LinkedIn, phone, and Messenger went berserk with incoming messages and questions. A few days ago, in just one document, FIFA released the circular, which completely changed the agent regulatory landscape, at least for the forthcoming 12 months, maybe more. Jonathan, in the past, we've covered in this podcast a lot of detail, the FFAR implementation, being the FIFA football agents regulations implementations, the national football agent regulations in different countries. We've had legal litigation updates. But this announcement, the way the agency business is going forward, has really reshaped for licensed agents who now have to realign their businesses and even change contracts and everything else going forward.
First of all, though, the day after we recorded the last episode, the English FA released their NFAR, their National Football Agent Regulations, and thus we were unable to cover that before our seasonal break. We did actually speak about them in a previous episode and what the proposals were. And as if the timing of the FA's announcements threw us a bit, not least the seemingly poor timing, just some 10 or 14 days before the mid-season transfer window was due to open, this even bigger news broke not long after that from FIFA.
Yes, FIFA released a circular to the member associations of FIFA, being the national associations and obviously the confederations. Circular number 1873, as I mentioned, entitled FIFA Football Agent Regulations Update on Implementation. Basically, this circular went through the background, and I'll be very brief here, that on the 16th December 2022, the FIFA approved these regulations, FFAR, and that they were regulation to provide a balanced and reasonable legal instrument to regulate agents. And because they were subject to a coordinated litigation strategy by agents and agent associations, their full implementation was delayed. Although FIFA in this circular recognized that they won quite a few cases, and one of the big ones they mentioned is the Court of Arbitration of Sport, they did lose or were in preliminary loss, because these matters are on appeal or going to a higher court, especially in Germany. The Dortmund case that everyone talks about, an injunction of the FFAR, had a big impact. And as we've discussed on this podcast, outcomes in Spain, Brazil and England, the Rule K arbitration that we recently discussed as well, resulted in FIFA being hamstrung from, I would say, an effective and efficient implementation of the regulations. Therefore, they had to suspend crucial provisions of the FFAR, which we will go through. I think the timing is problematic, as agents have planned certain contractual and commercial approaches based on the FFAR, and now they'll have to change a lot of things, while agents outside Europe are also more confused, because how do they do business?
Now, as some people may recall from episode 24 before Christmas and the New Year break, we made a couple of, shall we say, tongue-in-cheek predictions in regards to the FFAR for the future. And these were that FIFA may be looking to suspend certain parts of the FFAR, with the agent working group meeting in December, as well as the various legal issues, challenges and appeals that were ongoing, most notably, as you mentioned, Germany, but also there was Spain, England and Brazil. And for me, I thoroughly expected a temporary suspension of the most contentious and problematic, if not questionable, issue of the cap on agent commissions. However, when this FIFA circular dropped on the 30th of December, it took me aback in many ways. There was a temptation for a bit of celebration based on the headlines. I think even FIFA named the download file, and I quote, FIFA football agent regulation suspended. And this was a trap I think quite a few people fell into rather than looking at the detail in the circular and considering it properly. But before we look at what the suspended elements are, Peter, as well as the retained ones, I'm interested to hear your views on both the apparent tone and content of the circular itself, not just what's suspended.
First of all, as I mentioned, FIFA had no choice but to suspend some parts of the regulation. The circular is written in a way which aims to address the European and then the international agents. However, the circular is not easy to interpret. Even for myself, at first read, you would have major misunderstandings about this circular. The biggest misunderstanding stems, if you read it at first instance, is that FIFA writes in one place that the FFR is entirely banned in Europe, while only certain parts of the FFR are banned in the rest of the world. Today, after clarification, we know that certain parts of the FFAR would be banned throughout the world, including Europe. I think, as one commentator said, it's very clumsily worded by FIFA if you read it at first instance. I think also the confusion that the German link brought, now they call it the European link, and then we have the now the rest of the world application. This also makes it quite a difficult circular to read. It's ambiguous in a way, it's inconsistent, and it also provides contradictions. I'm afraid that some agents, especially outside Europe, may need to get legal advice to understand the implications of what's in and what's out. We will go through that. However, I think at the end of the day, it's become very hard for FIFA going forward. And they just thought, look, we're going to have to wait for the European Court of Justice to make a decision and settle our regulatory framework. We have to remember, as I mentioned earlier, that this circular is addressed to national associations, which also mentions in this circular they can also take their own approach, which opens up another issue. For instance, we know that Italy and Switzerland, you need a national license going forward. So even if the FFA is partly suspended, in those countries, you need a national license. We know France, you need a statutory license. So basically, these situations aren't addressed. The circular just talks about national associations can implement their NFAR how they see fit, obviously not with the suspended provisions, but that also makes things very confusing, Jonathan.
And it's even that link to Europe isn't so much a link to Europe. That's even more abstract when you start to look at it as to what countries in Europe aren't in the link to the European Union. But we may come back to that. Now, for me, I don't know whether this document was written in another language and then somewhat lost in translation. But I would have hoped that after all that has happened and the position we are all in now, the mess we're all in, not just the agents and FIFA, but also clubs, players, member associations and others, there would have been a bit more of a constructed, if not conciliatory, approach to such a move and subsequent announcements. However, in this circular, in my opinion, we can see, first of all, the persistent mantra about proper functioning of the transfer system that FIFA have used for some 5 to 6 years now. Mention of a coordinated litigation strategy, which I'm guessing they mean that all the various agents and agents' bodies have worked together, which we know isn't true, as the parties challenging FIFA aren't even often on speaking terms. They have very different views and opinions and objections. And sometimes they've even threatened to sue one another over FFAR. So if FIFA are leading people to believe that this is a coordinated effort between all the agents' associations and all the different agents, I think they're going down the wrong path there. Then we have the claim that FIFA has so far prevailed in the vast majority of cases, which must use the same selective memory in being so misleading. I'm not saying the agents have won the majority of cases like some would have us believe with their football scorelines, but neither have FIFA won a vast majority. Many of the cases have been very different to make such a subjective judgment. Then we have the statement that courts and competition authorities have rejected requests to annul or invalidate FFAR are also misleading. As this is not because these authorities have upheld FFAR, they've just adjudged in many cases that it's not in their remit or jurisdiction to judge or rule, and they've possibly passed it to a higher authority. The reference to CAS, Now, my opinion on CAS has changed over the last year, not so much because of FFAR, but seeing more of the interrelationship between FIFA and CAS and the huge financial contributions FIFA make to CAS for the cases that are heard there. And I'm sure if people look at the financial reporting from CAS contributions, they do rely on some organisations more than others in terms of keeping the lights on. FIFA in the circular recommend member associations temporarily suspend, which I believe is going to cause huge confusion and problems for national associations on the basis of it just being a recommendation. FIFA arguably passed the national associations, the member associations, this hot potato, but only now want to recommend something whilst national football associations have to pick up the pieces. Now, I'm sure we're going to come back to this final point, and I've already referenced it. And that is the reference we have now from FIFA by a link to the European Union. Not a link to Europe, a link to the European Union. And this is all when we are still unclear on what FIFA determined to be a link to Germany, several months after it was dreamt up. And we spoke to Joachim back in episode 10 and Gregor in episode 20 on this. And just quickly, a bit of credit here to the English FA. In their NFAR, they actually recognise this and put a determination of what they perceive to be a link to Germany. So credit to them. But a link to the European Union may not be as easy to define as many European countries are not in the European Union. And with Brexit, that arguably includes England and the rest of the UK. Now, I could go on this, but it's a hugely frustrating tone in this circular from FIFA and more rhetoric. And I would have hoped they would have finally opened their eyes and ears to concerns dating back some time now. If anything, I would argue the circular should have been released back in May when the first injunction was instructed in Germany. FIFA, for me, have tied themselves in knots, and now it seems they're grasping at straws and want national associations and the ECJ, the European Court of Justice, to bail them out. When the ECJ decision may not apply to a lot of jurisdictions, as you've mentioned, around the world, and a ruling possibly won't be made until late 2024 or even 2025.
Yeah, you mentioned some very good points there, Jonathan. Firstly, with that EU link. Now, we know the recent case of UEFA and FIFA contravened EU law because they had a dominant position, the Super League case I'm talking about, where the European Court of Justice mentioned that you can't stop the formation of a Super League because of your dominant position. But I think maybe what came out of that case has affected the European link, or the EU link, I should say, because of the way the European Court of Justice made that decision. Now, we know that in December, I would say, that a lot of associations want to finalise their national football aid regulations. Now, we've got confusion in terms of agents' obligations, their limitations, and we've got a transfer window. Players, agents, clubs, coaches as well, who are also clients of agents, need to re-examine their position. Agents themselves have to re-examine their operations. And this is very late. I agree that maybe when the German link happened, it would have been better timing than now that we have a window. Of course, everyone now, especially in Europe, I would say, maybe not the UK, maybe not Asia, where I'm based, North America, are waiting for the European Court of Justice. But as you also mentioned, that could be 12, 14, 16 months away. So right now we have a chaotic state of play. We have provisions which are suspended, and that will remain for a very long time. Now, the European Court of Justice decision, territorially, that doesn't apply in a lot of countries, Africa, South America. So we see in the FIFA circular that they say we want to get clarity on that and then obviously finalise the framework. However, I think FIFA's taking more of a Bosman view. They see the forthcoming European Court of Justice decision on the agent regulations that came out of the German case and the other cases referred as the Bosman moment for agents, where if that decision is made, then it's likely not just Europe, of course, where the big markets are, but the United Kingdom and also the rest of the world, because Africa, we know Latin America, they tend to follow what's happening in Europe, will follow that decision, even if it's reshaped, because FIFA will have to reshape the regulations, but they will follow that decision. So I think that's what the long game is here, Jonathan.
So going to look at this list of suspended elements that FIFA have specified in this circular, one of the things I noticed, this isn't in numerical order. I don't know whether this has been done deliberately or whether the order is listed in the order relating to the court documents from Dortmund. I haven't looked at that. But for 1 minute, putting my mediator's hat on here, this is quite often an important thing that some mediators take into consideration in a case, as it can demonstrate either one, the order in which that party prioritizes the importance of the issues in a dispute for them, or two, the order in which they believe the other parties in the dispute prioritizes the importance of the issues. But that's a matter for another day, because mediation in this dispute was likely confined to history a long time ago, knowing the stance of some of the parties. So what we've done, so that people can listen and follow through our comments alongside the original FFAR regulation document from FIFA, is put them in order and keep them in the relevant sections of the FFAR. So Peter, do you want to go through what is temporarily, and we do stress temporarily, suspended as defined from FIFA Circular 1873?
Thank you, Jonathan. I'll go through the major articles that have been suspended. Let's start with Article 3.2, whereby the regulations provide jurisdiction to a national level body for termination of any disputes, and also jurisdiction to a national level body to take disciplinary measures against agents. That's been taken out. By applying for a license, an applicant agrees to abide by these regulations and the FIFA statutes, FIFA Code of Ethics, FIFA Disciplinary Code, and the RSTP. Representation. This is important because this applies to multiple representation. Article 12.8, 9, and 10. Only one party in representation and permitted dual representation have been removed. So basically, multiple representation is allowed. Also, connected agents, that has been removed as well. The big one is the service fees, the general principles on agent commissions. 14.2, payment of service fee under a rep agreement shall be made exclusively by the client of the football agent. That has been removed. In terms of payment of any service fee, that should be made after the closure of a relevant registration period and installments every 3 months for the duration of the negotiated employment contract. That has been removed. So the timing is a crucial one that a lot of agents were opposed to. That provision has been removed as well. Now, I'll move on to the service fee cap, Article 15, 1, 2, 3, and 4. Entities represented, caps and allowances, other services that have been provided, and the failure to rebut the other services have all been removed. Very important there. Now, the rights and obligations, there's been quite a bit removed from there, but I would just say very briefly that 16.2, a football agent shall respect and adhere to the statutes, regulations, directives, and decisions of competent bodies of FIFA. That has been removed. The big one for me as well is 16.2H, 16.2J, and 16.2K. These relate to ongoing disclosure and reporting and uploads to the platform, and also agency detail. So the information agents provide to FIFA in terms of reporting, compliance, and lodging documents has been removed. That's been crucial. Also 16.4, which is disclosure. Football agent has to inform a client of any offer immediately, provide client a copy of relevant agreements. That's been removed as well. But also disclosure and publication by FIFA, where FIFA had put in the agent details, exclusivity, when the agreement was going to expire. That has been removed. Now, we've also got, finally, Articles 20 and 21. 20 is jurisdiction, the football tribunal being the agent's chamber in this instance, and the way they deal with disputes. And also Article 21, which is competence and enforcement, has also been suspended. Also, the other one that I would say is the FIFA clearinghouse, before I finalize here, has also been required for service fee payments, which weren't going to happen straight away because the FIFA clearinghouse was not ready for agent fees, not for a couple of years, although it's been set up for training compensation and other type of financial transactions. That is sort of the breakdown. So really right now, there's no limit how much fee an agent can charge. Agents can undertake multi-representation in terms of buying club, selling club, and player at the same time, provided they have some risk management sign-offs or transparency where all the parties agree. The invoicing, when you invoice, is not regulated anymore. So in terms of the way you invoice the club, the player. And as I mentioned, the publications requirement of rep agreements, this will also disappear until the decision is made by the European Court of Justice, at least.
I think it certainly generates more questions than it does answers. But one big area that seems a little bit unclear is the exam. And the licensing procedure, which is primarily Article 6 and less so Article 4.1c, neither of which was mentioned as suspended in this FIFA circular. However, I don't know about you, Peter, there are rumours circulating that the exam might well be suspended, which I found incredible and ultimately unfair, if not a barrier to entry for many agent candidates, whether sitting the exam for the first time this year or resitting in 2024. Do we know anything about this, or is it, as I suspect, a bit of a myth and rumour or misunderstanding, given how confusing the current situation is?
Agents still need to be licensed with FIFA, which includes either a legacy or you've passed the FIFA agents exam. However, I've seen a release saying that it seems that exams are suspended in terms of the agent exam. That's, we know there's one for May 2024, that they have been suspended until the decision is made. Ultimately, when they say decision, European Court of Justice decision. That's one view that I've seen confirmed, but there is another view out there that this is not the case. Now, a lot of people are still keen to take the exam. Now, if you are going to take the exam, there are a lot of suspended or carved out articles, as we mentioned earlier, that you will not be examined on. It will be less FFAR, maybe more RSTP or safeguarding. That's what I've been hearing, that the exam may be suspended because a lot of the regulations are, but I don't think it's officially confirmed. We need to watch this space.
Definitely. And as I mentioned earlier, quite a few people seemingly fell into the trap of euphoria and celebration on seeing the comments and headlines about FFAR being suspended. And this, I believe, to an extent, is a knee-jerk reaction. And it's understandable given the time, money and resources many have spent fighting certain elements of FFAR, adapting to new regulations or preparing for them, or even trying to reason with the likes of FIFA, as well as the relief of many who have been hugely worried by it all. But this is, and we must say, this is a temporary suspension, and it is only partial. Because I did a very crude measurement of what's suspended and what isn't. And when looking at the FFAR document in a textual context, I would estimate only 20 to 30% of the content is actually suspended. The implications of those suspensions may be greater, but in terms of the text, it isn't anywhere near the majority of FFAR that is suspended. There's good and there's bad, in my opinion, that's been suspended. Yes, important elements have been suspended, but this is categorically not a suspension of FFAR as a whole, let alone the end of it. So looking at that, what hasn't been suspended that you noticed?
The process in terms of the eligibility requirements, the exam procedure, so Articles 5 and 6, everything to do with the licensing is not suspended. The license fee, Article 7, the issue of a license, Article 8. Article 9, continuing professional development, that's continuing. In terms of also representation, general provisions, in terms of your agreement, that has to be a written representation agreement, or Article 12.1. The two-year limit, Article 12.3, 12.4, one representation agreement with the client and an independent legal advice. The client is given that option to get that advice. So that is still on the cards. There is a little bit confusion in terms of, I think it's the service fee 14.3 that hasn't been suspended. We know the service fee has, but the $200,000 exception has not been suspended. So that's interesting how that reworks together. Now, the rights and obligations, also very important, what an agent has to do on behalf of their clients. We know that 16.1, written agreements, another agent can only approach a current agent's client in the last 2 months of the two-year contract. That's still in place. Exclusivity, you can have exclusive contracts with clients. That's in place. Also, 16.2A, got to act in the best interest of the client. 16.2, Article C, conflicts of interest. There are also the ban on clauses that penalise players who want to do their own deal. These are all in place. One thing that hasn't changed is the official languages. Article 27, that's not been suspended, but we know in Brazil, the court there wasn't happy that exams are not taken in Portuguese. So there are limitations here. Not everything's suspended, but fundamentally, a lot of things in terms of the payment space is great for agents. That's been suspended. But in terms of your obligations to clients and having a license, they are still in place, Jonathan.
There's so many things that confuse people, and everybody with their different backgrounds and their knowledge and their geographical location and the elements of the industry they're involved in and how they operate. Everybody's got concerns and noticed contradictions from this circular and what's being proposed. But there were several things I noticed from both the suspended elements and the retained elements in terms of those potential contradictions, concerns, and cause for confusion. But the biggest one for me is the suspension of Articles 20 and 21. As from my perspective, this leaves agents and other participants involved in agent-related disputes without a standard primary dispute resolution mechanism, where it's a dispute of an agent-related activity with an international dimension, or even those that might be of a domestic nature and then maybe escalate it to FIFA. So a key question for me, Peter, and maybe you can answer this, does this mean that with this suspension of Articles 20 and 21, are we looking at litigation through normal courts on agent-related disputes where there is an international dimension? Because technically, there's no FIFA mechanism to handle this, if what I've interpreted from this circular.
This is an interesting one. I've heard that matters can no longer go to the agent's chamber as part of this suspension, so based on how the circular reads. But I've also heard from sources that the agent's chamber may still accept disputes regarding the non-suspended elements, but it will not be mandatorily referred. So basically, it's not mandatory that every agent dispute can go to the agent chamber. So there is confusion here. The key, I would say, without giving legal advice or any of that nature, is to have in your contract two parts. For national dimension, we know that Rule K in England is still applicable. In Australia, we've got the grievance procedure. Some countries have got the National Dispute Resolution Chamber for agent disputes, or local laws or local courts. Or in some countries, you can even add a mediation clause to be a bit cheeky, to have the dispute mediated and finalized. Now, what about the international dimension? Can you still keep the agent's chamber for any disputes in your contract, which most of them have anyway? The agent's chamber is still working. They got some matters, very minor matters, as we mentioned in a previous podcast, or the dispute happened during the last 4 months, for instance, before the suspension. So I would keep it in there. Obviously, if you're a bigger agency, a bigger, say, firm, you might want to have the CAS clause in there to have your disputes go to court arbitration support. That's quite expensive, but for bigger agencies, that may be the way to go, or have FIFA law in there and see where FIFA lands on this issue, because we do need internationally, and that was one of the great aspects of FFAR, the Agents Tribunal. There is no mention that the Agents Tribunal has been suspended, so I would keep that clause in.
Yeah, we haven't really got time to go through all the queries and confusion that both ourselves and others have. And a senior member of FIFA's agent team was invited onto the show a few days ago to provide some clarity for everyone, not just ourselves. But again, the answer was no. And they said they weren't interested, sadly. I will just say, don't you just love that transparency? However, some potential conflicts and contradictions, in my view, are Article 3.2 is not suspended, which refers to the national associations implementing 11 to 21. But a large proportion of those same articles are specified as suspended, so there's a huge contradiction there. Article 3.3, allowing national member associations to apply stricter measures than the FFAR. But FIFA are also recommending the national associations suspend the referred elements. So if they applied these recommended suspended elements, are these not then stricter measures? Some may say a case of FIFA passing the buck and the responsibility to the member associations to make the decision. And Article 14.3, which you spoke about, specifies the $200,000 exemption in the client pays model. That's not suspended. But 14.2 of exclusivity that the client pays the agent is suspended. So that one is more one of intrigue than being problematic on the face of it, and probably more to do with the sub-paragraphs in 14.3.
Yeah, see, a lot of the paragraphs work together, and sometimes there may be an omission that you may have not suspended one paragraph that works with another one or sub-paragraph. It's notable what you mentioned, Article 14.3, which specifies 200,000 exception to the client's pay model is not suspended. I think that's an inconsistency. At the end of the day, the removal of the ability for clubs to pay agents on behalf of players will mean that that article may fall away or that application may fall away. It may be an oversight, but I just think with the service caps suspended and who pays model being lifted, it's very difficult for every article to retain its impact because it's not workable. You've removed everything behind it. So it's an inconsistency, and it will be a lot more inconsistencies as we work through the suspended and the non-suspended regulations.
The biggest problem for me, Peter, in all of this is the wider impact it's going to have for so many people. Like we've lived in a state of confusion probably since 2018 with what's going to happen. The last year is meant to be implementation. That's been massive confusion. But I have to say something here for the national associations, because they're going to have to rewrite or even withdraw new national football agent regulations and the problems that's going to cause for them and their stakeholders, including agents. It's not going to be for FIFA. And I will say here and now, and this is something I don't say often, I actually feel a bit sorry for the English FA in all of this. As although their timing wasn't the best in announcing with roughly 10 days notice that their new NFAR would be implemented in England on the 1st of January 2024, which roughly coincided with the opening of the new transfer window. Yes, there are some questionable elements in the English NFAR that need clarifying, but that's again for another time, as well as the poor timing of the announcement. If we get a chance to go through the English NFAR next week, we will, but no promises there. I do believe new regulations and new representation agreements were uploaded in the last couple of days, which do highlight the suspended elements, or shall we say low light, they're actually greyed out. But then for FIFA to drop this bombshell on the English FA less than 48 hours before the new English agent regulations came into force, and the new transfer window open, which is arguably the biggest transfer market, I did have some sympathy for the FA in England.
Yes, I think there's sympathy for a lot of people. At the end of the day, you need to be a FIFA licensed agent to conduct football agent services. And in England, you need to be an FA registered football agent to conduct business there. And the same thing applies in a lot of other countries. I would say FIFA had no choice from a governance and legal perspective. They faced too many challenges. It wasn't a level playing field because if you're in Germany, in England, if you're in Spain, you had no caps. In other countries, it depended on if there were national football agent regulations and they were strictly enforced. The implications were very difficult. FIFA had to take a step back because a lot of agents do deals in different countries, and this would have just imposed real difficulty on the business. So I think good governance needs certainty, needs transparency, and needs equal fair play for everyone. And the current state of affairs, as I mentioned earlier, really fragmented and stripped away that even-handedness. The key, you still need to be a FIFA licensed agent, as I mentioned before. Just be mindful of the different countries that you operate in, because we have mentioned that in a lot of countries there are idiosyncrasies. You need to look at a case-by-case basis, but at the end of the day, FIFA had to make a decision.
I just think the timing and the lack of thought by FIFA is shocking. It's sadly not surprising with how they've managed a whole FFAR debacle over what is 5 to 6 years now. As I said, a suspension of the implementation in May of 2023 would have made more sense following the first German injunction. Some may assume it petulance from FIFA and making others suffer because someone hasn't got their own way. Do I welcome the suspension? Yes, I do. Do I welcome the timing? Absolutely not. Do I think there are still huge problems ahead? I think we can pretty much guarantee that. I just wish FIFA would show some guts, some gumption, and some thought for others and show some sense in all of this. You created this mess. Now sort it out. Don't leave it to the national associations and indirectly the agents and the clubs to muddle through with the hand that you effectively dealt them. We're still dealing with the fallout from FIFA's bad decisions in 2015, and granted, that was a different regime, and the deregulation of football agents. And it looks like similar things are happening now, and we're going to be picking up the pieces for some time unless we get some clarity and some resolution in the very near future.
Yes, a lot of agents are faced with a 3 or 5% cap into their agreements with players. That now, all of a sudden, how do they pivot out of that? They need to re-sign a new schedule. Do they need to adjust the contract, to novate the contract? These are big issues now because we've got a new landscape. But I will say some big agents and agencies who had to change the way of doing things because of the FFAR, although they welcome the suspension, it's been challenging for their business. In this transfer window, their revenues and deals are going to be affected. So there has been a very big impact here, maybe more so than 2015, I would say, because all of a sudden, within 5 days, 10 days, you've had to adjust your business and agency model.
Yeah, we knew 2015 was coming. There was quite a lot of conversation and debate over that. So we knew that was coming. But at risk of going a bit Eurocentric, I think there's important clarification for me to make for everybody listening. Given that so many agents around the world undertake agency activity in England, and a lot of agents who are registered around the world are also registered in England. Now, for clarity, as of the 1st of January 2024, to undertake agency activity in England, you need to register with the Football Association in England as a licensed agent. That's even if you hold FIFA football agent license status. So that is in place now. It's a very quick and simple process. I think they're even running at 2 to 3 days to verify. And there is currently no fee for that registration process. Although there are some question marks over possible fees for uploading contracts and agreements to their new system, similar to a couple of other countries, but that's unconfirmed at the moment. But I don't think they were going to give up that cash cow so easily.
I mean, obviously they've changed things after the Rule K arbitration. They'll change things again. That's important because now, as with that circular, national associations have to take the initiative and really inform agents who want to operate in that space, in their territory, what's going on, what applies, what doesn't apply, and what's unique in that area. And with that, time to close the show. Please provide a review, recommendation, or rating on our socials or Spotify or Apple platforms. Please give us feedback about our niche podcast, how you feel about it, and whether you think it's really helping with the agency business in providing insights, information, and trends. Going forward, we've lined up some very good guests in future episodes, including how agents deal with the very difficult issue of tax, and also something very unique, the market of Mexico. Happy New Year to everyone. Have a great transfer window, and bye from me.
Yes, folks, best of luck with juggling all the confusion. We're sure it'll sort itself out in time. Take care.
The purpose of the Agents Angle podcast is to provide news, information, and facilitate discussion on regulatory matters, policies, business trends, and issues affecting football agents worldwide. The opinions and recommendations presented in this podcast are for general information only and should never be considered legal or professional advice. Furthermore, the views expressed by guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. Thank you for listening.